Well, we serve a miracle-working God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's still the same yesterday and today and forever, the Bible says. Okay, let's stand for a word of prayer at this time. Father in heaven, we give you praise and thanksgiving this morning. Thank you, Father, that you are our God. And Father, we thank you, yes, that you are a prayer-answering God to those who believe in you and seek you in faith, Lord. Father, we thank you that you work in our lives in these physical ways to answer our prayers. And thank you for answering our prayers for some of us years ago when we sought you in the matter of the salvation of our souls, Lord. We thank you for salvation this morning. Thank you for answering our prayers in regards to continuing to work in our lives. And thank you for your protection, Lord. And thank you for this new year, Lord, that you've laid before us path, Lord, that you would have us to walk in, Lord, and purposes that you have for our lives in this year of 2010. Lord, we thank you for bringing us safely to this year. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. Father, we worship you this morning. We exalt the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Truly, you are almighty. You're our God. And your Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord of lords and King of kings. So, Father, we do pray now that you would bless this time, Lord, this part of the service. Anoint my lips. Give me grace, Lord, to preach forth the unsearchable riches of Christ in clarity, Lord. Enable me, Lord, to bring it forth, Father, your very heart to this congregation and feed your people, Lord, that you have redeemed by your own blood. Thank you, Lord. I trust you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, talk about miracles or mysterious ways that God works. I came into our last ministers' meeting on Tuesday, and I was felt like the Lord had some meditation on my heart, and I was pondering about asking Aaron if I could have an opening on this Sunday morning. And so Aaron he opened his heart first, and he shared that he's traveling and will be coming home late Saturday evening. And then Brother Emmanuel likewise traveled up to Buffalo Valley today. And so God was already working in my heart by the time I knew that I would be having the main message here. So just in retrospect here, in looking at the last two messages, I preached a message 2 weeks ago on living on the cutting edge. Brother Paul preached a message last Sunday on pondering the path of our feet. I believe God is speaking. I'm trusting that we have pondered the path of our feet as we have entered into this new year. And that somehow by faith, we can apprehend those things that God has laid before us. I trust God has spoken to our hearts through our brother's message last Sunday. But those things are apprehended by faith, and as we walk by faith, the Bible says very clearly, we walk not by sight, but by faith. And as we walk by faith in this new year, we'll be able God will be able to fulfill His purposes in our lives that He has for us. So I'm assuming this morning that this has taken place in our lives, that God has been working this week as we ponder the path of our feet. I'm assuming that God has opened up the way before us, has given you a path and some goal and focus and purpose for this year here of 2010. And I'd like to preach a message this morning. Fits very well with the opening, one aspect of the of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life is the truth. I'd like to focus in on that this morning. I'd like to preach a message on the necessity to keep that which God has done in our hearts. To keep that which God has done. That which God has revealed to you maybe this past week, that which God has open up before you, the path He's opened up. The Bible speaks much about keeping the commands of Christ. So the title this morning is Keeping the Commandments of Christ. Keeping the Commandments of Christ. Let's turn our Bibles to St. John chapter 8. St. John chapter 8. I'd like to read these verses again that Brother Luke read this morning in verse 31 and 32. I'll start reading in verse 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So here's a very clear statement of Christ. There were many who were believing in Him. There were many believing that He was truly the Christ and that He was the Messiah. But Jesus looked on those Jews which believed on Him and He said, If ye continue in My word, if ye continue in My word, then shall ye be My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What I see Christ saying there, all of us, we have that need of sanctification, ongoing work of God being accomplished in our lives. And as that work of God is accomplished, we become more and more free. And Jesus said, If ye continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. If you continue in My word, and ye shall know the truth as you continue in My word, and the truth shall make you free. Change from glory to glory, like it brings out in the epistles. So before I go into this message much, I'd just like to mention that this is basically going to be just a meditation. The same minister's meeting, the Lord just laid on my heart to open up to you as a congregation, to open it up to you, and have a time here, maybe in about half an hour, have a time of you sharing what God has done in your lives in this past year, some things that God has accomplished, the growth that you have seen in your life, and furthermore, the path that He is opening up before you for the new year here. So that's I'd like to open it up in a little while here. So this is just basically a meditation here this morning. Then maybe we'll end it in a time of prayer. So anyway, as I think of what the emphasis was before we entered 2009, it was that we would saturate ourselves in God's Word. I remember a year ago, as we entered into the new year at that time, it was that our lives would be saturated with God's Word. As you remember, some through the year Bible, read the Bible through in a year pamphlets were put into our mailboxes. And I'd like to challenge us this year that this would be a year of taking the Word of God by faith and keeping it. That it would be a year of tremendous faith in our hearts in regards to embracing the promises of God and, just adding on to last year. I'm not taking away from last year, but just adding on that we would engage our hearts in faith and embrace what God has God is speaking to us, the commands He's giving us, and the life of God that He's opening up to us. So let's make this a tremendous year of faith in keeping the commands and promises of Christ that He lays before us. Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I want to focus in on this word keep this morning. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. We see a good bit of the word keep in the New Testament. Keeping the commands of Christ. Keeping those commands that Christ is giving us. Jesus is the way, but He's furthermore the truth. Are you embracing the truth, first of all, but then furthermore keeping it? Keeping the truth. As it's been revealed to you. Here in Luke 8:15 it says, But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. So there's a necessity in our lives to keep that which God has revealed to us. That we keep it. That we don't allow it to slip away. That we don't just allow it to pass by us. Yes, we hear it. And in Luke 8 here, we see that fell on stony ground and that which fell on by the wayside. All of those were hearers. But they didn't keep the word. They allowed it to slip away somehow. And thus they brought no fruit unto perfection. But Christ is interested that we keep His word and bring forth fruit. Okay, let's remember this morning that faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word. As we've heard, faith comes by hearing from God. And most often God speaks through His Word. And as God speaks through His Word, faith is built up in our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word. Now is the necessity to keep that which we've heard. And I'd like to just bring out, how's this done this morning? How do we keep the Word? How do we walk in what God has spoken to us about? How do we continue in the Word? Like Jesus said, you're my disciples if you continue in my Word. Okay, let's go through some of these, some of the word keep here, especially in the Gospels. John, the Apostle John, is very strong about this word keep. In fact, he mentions it in all of his St. John, 1 John, and Revelations. That's where the word keep comes from the most in the New Testament here. So let's turn to some of these scriptures. Let's turn back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 55. Even Jesus seen the necessity to keep that which God has spoken to Him about. Even Christ. Here in John chapter 8, verse 54 and 55. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying." And that's what Jesus was basically bringing out to the Pharisees. You know, this is honor to the Father. When you keep his saying, when you hear from the Father and furthermore keep Him, that your life is not a lie. Professing one thing, but denying it by your actions and deeds and your walk. Keeping the sayings and commands of Christ. John 14:15. John 14:15, it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Then let's turn right over to John 14:22-23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Do you have true love for God this morning? You will keep the words of God. You will keep the words of Christ if there is love in your heart for Christ and the Father. But anyway, it says here, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." You know, he in essence at the last there, he puts emphasis on this word keep. He says, this is not just my word, this is the Father's word that sent me. About keeping the commands of Christ. Keeping them. Within your heart. John 15. Just going through a few more scriptures on this. John 15, verse 8. 8 through 10. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Then he brings out and says how we can continue in the love of Christ. How we can continue in the love of the Father. It says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So this morning, is it our heart to abide in Christ, to abide in the Father? Keep that which God is doing in your life. Keep it. Don't just let it slip away. If you want to abide in the Father's love, if you want to abide in the love of Christ, it's very clear, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. So let's make this a year of keeping that which God is doing in our hearts. That which, as you ponder this week, the path of your feet, don't just let it slip away, but keep that which Christ has done. Let's turn to 1 John now, over to 1 John. Again, this word keep, John expounds on it quite a bit. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. And here John's very clear in his epistles that our life is lived out by action and not just word. We profess, we show forth really who we are in Christ by our actions and deeds and our walk. Not just our words. And here he brings these things out very clearly here in 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 3. "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Remember Jesus being the truth. One aspect of Jesus is He is the truth. Okay. "He that keepeth, he that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." Praise the Lord. It's a keeping. "Whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." And I believe this morning we all have a heart that the love of God will be perfected in our lives this year, 2010. It's in keeping the word that God is doing in your heart that the love of God will be perfected in your very life. You will experience more of His love in your life. You will get to know His love more. And the love of God will be shed abroad, like Brother Luke brought out. The love of God will be shed abroad to a lost and dying world in a greater degree. And to your brothers and sisters in Christ as we keep His word. Okay, let's turn to 1 John 3, yes, 18 to 24. Again, this word keep. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him." If we, what the Apostle John is bringing out, if we are manifesting forth in deed and action and in truth that which we're professing, we can actually assure our hearts that we're of the truth. We can assure our hearts that we know Him yes, we can assure our hearts before Him. And then it says in verse 20, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." Now look at this next verse. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Praise the Lord. Even prayer comes into view here. You know, that God is interested in pouring out His blessings upon His people who keep His word. Who not only hear it, but keep it. Okay, let's turn yet to a few other scriptures here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. 2. "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God." This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. See it? There it is. We love God. We love God to the degree that we keep His commandments. And when I'm talking about commandments this morning, please understand me. It's that which Christ is speaking to us about through His Word. I don't want to come across in a legalistic or in a law mentality, but that which Christ is speaking to us about. 2 weeks ago, I preached about stepping out in faith. You know, that which God is revealing to you, that you take that step of faith and believe God. Believe His promise. Believe His command. And now, furthermore, what Christ is doing in our hearts, the necessity is to keep it, to not just let it slip away. And that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to make it sound like I'm coming across the matter of the law, but that which Christ is working into the fiber of our spiritual being. Anyway, it says here, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." So, brother, sister, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. You're showing forth love to God as you keep that which Christ is doing in your life. Not just letting it slip away. Our Revelations yet. Let's go. There's a few here yet. Revelations chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Again, the Apostle John, keeping those things which are written therein. And then in Revelations 12, 17. You know, Satan is angry. He's not so angry at those who profess Christianity, but he's angry at those who keep the Word of God, who keep the commandments of Christ. It's evident here. It says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God." Devil's angry at those who keep the commands of Christ. His onslaught is against those. He knows that if there's just a profession of Christianity, that there they won't have much an effect. They won't have much effect on the world. But those who keep the commands of Christ, he's scared of those. He trembles and he makes war against them. "Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, Revelations chapter, 14 yet, and then chapter 22. 14 verse 12. "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." And then chapter 22, the last chapter here of Revelations. 22 verse 8 and 9. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." Now just listen here a minute. John thought that this was an angel in heaven, that he was that was revealing to him these things. "But then saith he unto me, See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." So here was a servant of God in heaven that appeared to be like an angel to John. And this form that he saw was actually a fellow servant, may have been one of the prophets of old. But his testimony was, "I am one who has kept the sayings of this book." It's a testimony of those in heaven that have gone before us. They're ones that have kept the sayings of Christ and of the Word of God. Okay, well, I think that brings out the necessity very much to keep the commandments of God. I think that's clear to us as we've read these Scriptures, that there is a necessity to keep that which Christ is doing and has done in our lives. I looked up the word keep. In the Strong's, the Greek word is tereo. And it means, listen, it means a watch. You know, it's like putting a watch around it. You know, in urban Africa, they have these watch. They have these what do you call them? Night watchmen. Have these night watchmen who they're watching, see that nobody breaks into the house. They're guarding the people's property, and they're up all night. I mean, they're supposed to be. Sometimes they get caught sleeping. But anyway, they're supposed to be up all night guarding carefully the belongings of the property owner. There they are, watching. A watch. To keep means, this word keep means to set a watch. Set a watch around it. That which Christ has done in your life. Don't just let it slip away. Set a watch around to guard from loss or injury by keeping the eye upon. I love these meanings in Strong. Let me say that again. To guard from loss or injury by keeping the eye upon. To prevent from escaping. A fortress or full military lines. To put a fortress around that thing and set up military lines around that command that Christ has given to you. I'm not just going to let the enemy steal this away. The enemy would love to come in. I'm going to set my military lines around it. Put a fortress around it. That the enemy can't just come and steal, and rob, and kill that which I have, that which Christ has done in my life. To prevent, to detain, to maintain. Those are the meanings in Strong's in this word keep. You know, something that's precious to us, we hang on to it. We don't lightly esteem it. We value it. We might even have a special place where we keep it. I remember when I was at home, still in my parents' house, we had this room. They called it the good room. I'm not sure why they exactly what, but anyway, there was things in that room. Still, and I can still remember the smell of entering the room. I mean, the smell of cedar chests and just, you know. And then they had this big bureau or this big chestnut drawers with like a mirror. I'm not sure what the piece of furniture, how you call it. But anyway, there was all kinds of good things in there, and some of mine. And I love to just look into that glass and behold some of those things. But they were kept in a place, kind of a special place in the house. You know, just because they had value. They had value. I valued those things. And they were precious to me. And we kept those in a special place. And this morning I'd like to bring that to bear upon our hearts. Do we keep the Christ? Do we keep the commands of Christ? The promises of Christ? That which He's doing in our life? Do we keep them in a special place in our heart? Do we value them? Do we esteem Christ's commands highly? When He speaks to us, when He does a work of grace in our lives, do we esteem it? Do we embrace it? Do we count it precious and watch over it? I'm not just going to let this thing slip away. I'm not just going to let this thing get away from me or be stolen or lose it. But I'm going to do my utmost to keep that which Christ has done. In my life. The command of Christ upon my heart. His promise to me. And we can go into both commands and promises this morning. Okay, let's go on. Keeping by faith that which God has given us is in essence a bridge between stepping out in faith and the fulfillment of the thing. You know, it says here in Luke that, and they bear forth fruit with patience. Now that's the bridge that I see there. You know, when Christ does a work, when Christ gives us a command, you know, there's still that need sometimes for the complete fulfillment of it. But as we keep that command, Christ is God is ever working. The Holy Spirit is ever working to bring it into fulfillment. Let me just give you a few examples. You know, how does this work? I believe that as we keep that which God has done in our heart, God is ever working. I'm sorry. Kind of redundant here. He's ever working to bring it into fulfillment reality. Take, for instance, Abraham and Isaac. Abraham stepped out in faith, but for 30 years he didn't see his son being conceived or born. But he kept the saying of God. He kept it. And God was ever working to bring it into fulfillment. Take Noah. Noah heard from God, kept the saying of God, And his faith was put into action in building an ark. And later on, the whole fulfillment of it came. The flood truly came. But Noah kept the saying of God. He didn't just allow it to slip away. That which, and in the midst of mockery and I'm sure persecution, you know, Noah faced a lot in that day with the wickedness around him, but he kept the saying of God. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So how do we keep his commands? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. How do we keep the commands of Christ within us? How's this done? How can I keep that which Christ has done in my life from slipping away from me? From losing it. First of all, like I said, we need to highly esteem that which Christ has done and the work of grace He does in our lives. But then in Philippians chapter 2, it says here in verse 12, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So what I see Paul bringing out here to the church of Philippi, this is a chapter on like-mindedness, it's a chapter on humility, and Paul is simply bringing out to the church of Philippi to be able to walk in a way that Christ continues to work in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We must walk in humility. We must walk in humility. The Scripture is clear there. And I believe that's what that fear and trembling, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, is He's saying that if God is going to work in you, both to will and to do, you must walk in that posture. But there's that need of walking in the posture of humility. Continue therein. He's not rebuking the church at Corinth, but he's saying, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, keep obeying in this matter of keeping yourself from murmurings and disputings. He's bringing that whole principle of humility into view there, saying that, you know, if there's frictions among you, if there's schisms, I desire that you be like-minded and walk in humility so as to keep murmurings and disputings out of your midst, and in that posture, I will continue to work, God says, to will and to do of my good pleasure in your life. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Here in chapter 1, verse 1:13-14, Paul says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know, it says there, hold fast the form of sound words. How? In faith and love. Continue to embrace your relationship with Christ. That love relationship that you have. Continue to walk by faith. And the Holy Ghost will, and God's Spirit will be working vibrantly and profoundly in your life so as that you can keep that which has been committed to you. So you know, Christ, when He gives commands, when He gives promises, He's in essence committing something to us. And we are commanded to keep that which the Holy Ghost has committed to us. To keep it. By the Holy Ghost that dwells within us. And that's why the necessity of walking in the Spirit. We walk in the flesh, we'll not be able to keep those things. They'll just slip away. But if we walk in the Spirit, we can keep, by the Holy Ghost, we can keep that which has been committed unto us. 2 Timothy chapter, verse 14, I'm getting a little mixed up here. Okay, let's go on. Let's go on to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. This charge I commit unto thee, thou son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So again, we see the necessity of holding faith. Holding faith in those things. And here it says that by these, and this is in essence, I think, an ordination sense, but I'd like to put it into the sense of, you know, when Christ speaks into our lives, He commits to us things. He in essence, prophesies into our lives. And Paul says to Timothy, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, if Christ has spoken into your life, if you know that the Lord has spoken, He's committed to you something. And the command is to war a good warfare in regards to that thing. War a good warfare that you might be able to keep holding faith in that thing. Holding faith in the command of Christ that He's given to you. Holding faith. In essence, that you might, in order that you might be able to keep that which He's committed unto you. We must at times war in order to keep that which God has done in our hearts. The Bible speaks about the trial of our faith. You see, God will test those things He's done within us and spoken to us about to see if we'll continue to hold faith in the midst of the storm. You know, God speaks to us. He does a new thing in our lives. We're excited. We're blessed. We embrace it. Oh, we've heard from the Lord. Thank you, God. Then God will test that thing. He'll come and test it. He'll allow the storms to blow upon what He's done. It's a trial of your faith. Will you hold faith in that hour of trial? Will you continue to hold faith? And Timothy says, Paul says to Timothy, I prophesied these things that you might war a good warfare. I think Paul knew that, you know, when God has spoken, when God has, in this case, God had given Timothy a specific charge, and he knew that, Paul knew that Timothy would face some wars in the midst of that thing. That, you know, that prophecy that was placed upon him was, in essence, Satan would have loved to steal it away, make him ineffective in the command of Christ upon his life. Paul says to war a good warfare. It's easy to acknowledge we believe God's Word. But what about in action? Does our life show we believe Him? Paul believed God, both His promises and commands, sitting in a prison cell. He believed God's promise to his heart that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he also followed Christ's command to write the epistles in the midst of dire circumstances. He followed through. Kept right on going with Christ, walking in faith in that which God had done in his heart, and that which Christ had commanded to him. So did all the other great men of God. Think of Jeremiah. Christ had given him a command to Israel. God had given him a command to prophesy to Israel about their sin and their wrong and their and that they would be that captivity was going to take place. They were going to be carried captive into Babylon. But Jeremiah, after he was placed in a dungeon, in a pit, it says he sank down in the mire in that trial of faith. After he came out of that pit and that mire, he kept right on prophesying. He knew he had heard from the Lord. He knew he had heard God's command. And he kept right on going. It was a trial of his faith. But he was faithful. He passed the test kept the commandments of God. We could mention many others. Noah, Moses, Job, and David. David being chased around in the in the wilderness, in the forest, in the hills, and he kept the commands of God. Kept them. He didn't allow him to slip away despite that trial of his faith. These men kept the sayings and commands of God despite much difficulty and tribulation. Will you and will I? You know, there's one fight we are definitely to fight, and that is the fight of faith. 1 Timothy, let's just turn there yet in closing. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Yes. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 and 12. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, which is lusts of money and so forth. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I know many of us, whether it's our baptism or some other time in our lives, we've professed a good profession in Christ. We've professed it. We've declared it. Paul's saying here, follow after those things, young man. Timothy, follow after righteousness, godliness, love, patience. There's going to be a fight. Satan is going to be there to try to steal it away. You've declared yourself. You've professed before many witnesses your godliness, your profession of faithfulness, your desire to stay faithful to Christ. You've professed that, a good confession. But are you, in order to continue following after, and I'm bringing this down home this morning, you know, pondering the path of your feet, that which God has been doing in your life. This past week, pondering the path of your feet, that which Christ is ministering to you and speaking to you about. And now you've seen His command upon your life. You've seen the path that you either have or are entering into, or endeavoring to enter into. Well, there's going to be a fight. There will be a fight of faith. And Christ, God's command upon us is to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold. Lay hold on eternal things. Lay hold on those things that are eternal that God is speaking into your life about. Follow after those things. Keep them in your heart. Turn not to, and that's the same scripture out of Proverbs, turn that Paul read last Sunday. Let's not turn to the right hand nor to the left. Let us lay hold on our eternal calling. So, brother, sister, this morning, let us continue to keep that which God is doing in our hearts on an ongoing basis in our Christian walk. Keep it. Watch over it. Be jealous over it. Count it precious. Hold it in a special place in your heart. Don't just let it slip away. The commands of Christ. And thus, His commands and His promises will be worked out in action. Praise the Lord! His commands and promises, as you keep those things in your heart, they will be worked out by the Spirit of God in action in your life, in your daily walk. Let's turn in closing yet to Luke 8:15 again. And maybe, ushers, you can get the mics ready here. Luke 8:15. That on the good ground, listen, brothers, sisters, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. So God bless you. Let this be a year where we keep the word of God by faith, watch over it, and watch God do great and blessed things in our lives. And in the life of this congregation, as we keep His sayings and His word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning and bless You, Lord. I thank You, Father, for Your... we just thank You for Your commands. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for the example of how one of the... says in the book of Hebrews, that one of Your... prophets of old, He embraced the promises. And Lord, that's our heart as a congregation, I trust, Lord. Each one of us is to keep Your sayings, to keep Your commandments in this year, in this new year that lies before us. Father, give us grace, Lord, to find our way, and yes, by keeping Your Word, thus bringing forth fruit with patience. Fruit unto perfection, Lord. Oh, Father, we look to You. We praise You and thank You. I trust You to bless this congregation thus. Bless our time now as we share together for a season here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I'm going to just open it up to you all. Whether it's comments on the message, but I'm more interested in what God has been doing in your heart, the growth that you've seen in your life in the past year, and the path that He's laying before you in this new year, as you've pondered the path of your feet. So get your hands up, both brothers and sisters. Feel free here this morning. Brother Steve.
Yes, I like this time of year just to look at the Ebenezers that God has given us, and look at reflect on our past year and think about what the Lord is doing in our hearts. And I must say I'm encouraged with just looking back over this past year and see what God has done in my heart and in my family and everything. And I just look forward to many more things this coming year. There's a specific area that I have always been, it's been one of my weaknesses that I just see that the Lord has been working on, and that's the area of redeeming the time and using the time that God has given us wisely. I just see a lot of need there still, but as I reflect over my past, I see that the Lord is working, and I'm thankful for that. I would ask that if anybody encourage you, I guess, to ask me about that if you think about it, because it is still a weakness in my life, and I do desire to just move on and use the time wisely that God has given us. And I just challenge you to keep me accountable on that, and just find myself slipping into it sometimes again, especially in the area of being distracted. Maybe I'm researching something or doing a search or something on the internet, and I get distracted, and after a bit I find myself just mindlessly browsing around looking at this and that. And so I've just kind of committed myself that whenever I'm tempted to do that, I want to just stop and get into the Word. I keep a Bible there on my desk all the time, and I want to be more in the Word rather than just mindlessly browsing the internet and doing other things that just distract me and take away from my time. So ask me about how I'm doing if you think about it sometimes. And I just want to thank you, Brother Mel, for this encouragement, and Brother Paul for the encouragement last Sunday. We want to move forward. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for being specific. I appreciate that. We can just be a little bit specific here, what God is doing, and edify one another. Others? In the back there?
I just want to give a testimony of what God's doing in my life. This past year, I took up the challenge to read the Bible through, and I just felt like it was something God really wanted me to do. And other times I had tried different plans and always got discouraged and never followed through with it. And this time I just felt like God was saying, go for it and don't be discouraged by anything. And I just want to testify that I didn't do it all through in a year. I'm a few months behind, but I haven't been discouraged once to give up. And that was just really encouraging to me. I just want to encourage anyone else that maybe if you've tried different things and it hasn't worked, just to just go for it and just don't be discouraged. Sometimes it was like, I'm not going to finish in time or just different things that you could be discouraged about. But God has been very faithful in that. And also just for this year, through the story my brother shared, I was along on that trip too. And we girls had been talking about it, that different ones of us had felt maybe prompted by God to suggest praying as a group. And none of us, for some reason or the other, suggested that when we felt like we should have. And so I was convicted by that. We were just saying how easy it is to just push aside God's voice. And that's something I desire to grow in this year, just to be faithful to God's voice.
Amen. Thank you, sister. What a blessing. Caleb?
Yeah, this message really struck a chord with me, and I appreciate it. This summer I spent some time in the book of John and was thrilled at the life of Christ and watching how close he walked. Everything he did was in the will of the Father, with the Father, you know, the Father speaking through him, and that wonderful relationship. And as you brought out this morning, it's amazing that we can actually have a similar relationship with Christ that Christ had with God when he walked on earth. And in that verse 23 there you read, "If any man love me, he will keep my words. My Father and I will love him and make our abode with him." And the beautiful, parallel that just like Christ walked with the Father on the earth, we can do it here. And it's not a burden. It's a life. It's a Amen. Life just like Christ had with Christ. And that is so my desire for this year as I look ahead, that I would keep what Christ has for me in my life and live that way. And live with Christ and the Father in me this year more than I did last year.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing. Others? Who has the mic? Mose, do you have it in the back?
Yeah, well, I really rejoice in the goodness of God this morning. I am just in the last 6 weeks, you know, what God has been doing for me and us as a family and us as a group, and I just praise God. And consider your path. I just really was meditating on that this morning, and I don't know exactly what looking forward. You know, sometimes the path looks dark. And we're not sure what to expect. But I trust God that He will be on that path, and He will lead us, and He will take us by the hand, and He will make the path straight.
Amen.
And yes, there will be valleys, there will be mountains, and there will be curves in the path. But as we follow the Lord, it's straight. And so we're trusting God for our future. But I also want to look a little bit at... I was just meditating, or as a family, we're going through the Old Testament in Genesis, and it's just such a blessing to, again, be able to read the Word of God and see the Spirit of God to come alive, even in the Old Testament. And I'm just so amazed that some of the, even the Old Testament there, where it talks about the priest and priest's clothing was made, and how God can just bring a beautiful message in all those things if we allow Him to.
Amen.
We just, you know, come to God and we read God's Word and it comes alive. And I just praise God. And I know I've been going through a valley, the last couple of years, and it just seemed like, you know, the Word of God was not alive to me like it should be. And I just rejoice that today I can read through the Old Testament and I can, you know, the Word of God comes alive, even the Old Testament, and it's amazing. And I'd like to just reflect a little bit upon my past, and I don't want to take too much time here, but in Jeremiah it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." And I just rejoice that before I was a teenager, God, somehow, I responded to God and I said, "God, I want to serve you." And the path that God had laid out before me. Even before I was born, He knew me. And I look back now and I see that path and I see how it went over the mountains and, you know, around the rocks and all those things that came into my life. But God was there and God was leading me. And I praise God. But, you know, I believe it was God put something in my heart there in those early years. And I believe that I would like to give that a challenge to every young person that is here, that seek the face of God and ask God daily to lead you in the right direction. Because there's so many ways that lead off. And that path, that the straight and narrow way is the way to Jesus Christ, the way that Jesus Christ is on. And but there's the devil is there on the side, and there's lions there, and there's all kinds of evil there if we veer off that path. But let's stay on the straight and narrow way and trust the Lord, and He will direct our path. And I just rejoice in the path that God has brought us through and how He was so faithful. And God is good. Amen. So praise God. Thank Amen. You.
Amen. Over here. Get your hands up, others, if you want to share here.
I just want to praise the Lord for something that He's done recently. Throughout the past, off and on, I've had fears, and you know, especially surrounding my baptism and my salvation, and I often knew that it was the enemy, but sometimes it just seemed like I had to analyze the whole thing. And just recently I've just laid that thing to rest, and it's been so peaceful and such a blessing. And I just wanted to praise the Lord for doing that for me. And I knew that many times it hindered me from being everything that I could be. And I just want to share that if I've hindered any of you in that, I just am really sorry, because I want to be all that God wants me to be today and walking in His fullness every moment. And I know that many times the words that we say to each other, or maybe unknowingly we say something that really blesses someone. And that happened to me this morning, that somebody said something that really blessed me. But also I think sometimes when we're in our own struggle and we don't always say the things that are on our heart or that we could say because maybe we're struggling, we hinder people in that way. So I just want to say that I'm sorry for that if I've hindered anyone. And but more recently here, I guess someone had said something that hurt me really deeply. And this morning when I came in the door, I was so blessed that, a sister just shared with me that then God can comfort you. And that just so very much encouraged me. And then I thought, well, one of my goals for this year is that my words would be like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, that I can say those things that are on target, that are led by the Spirit, that will bless someone and not bring discouragement to anyone. So I just wanted to share that, and I just really appreciate the message and just the idea of keeping His commandments and walking more closely with Him. I want to do that.
Amen. God bless you, Barb. Okay, down here. Laura.
Yeah, I've been blessed this past week to be able to look through a journal that I'd kept. I used to keep journals every day, but I don't do that. But at significant times in my life when I feel the Lord has taught me something, I've written down, I've made it a point to write down those, what I feel the Lord is teaching me, so I can look back on them and remember. And I just found that very helpful to look back again this week and see what, through the year, what has been the main theme? What has the Lord been trying to say to me? I like to do that through the sermons. I didn't make it through the sermons either, but yet. But what is what is he teaching? And I feel that I encourage other people to do that as well, to keep a journal at least of the things that the Lord is speaking, because of its value. We don't want to lose it.
Amen.
It's a way to keep it. But one of the things that the Lord was teaching me was how to walk in victory during those times of stress. So when I used my points of failure to say, well, Lord, what did I miss? And at several different points, it was just listening, taking the time to stop and ask the Lord. If I would have done that and listened, I believe he would have had the grace for me to be victorious during those times of stress when I failed, if I would have been prepared with a listening heart or responsive with a quieting myself rather than just pushing it on. And I want to walk in that remembrance of those lessons and be more of a listening heart this coming year.
God bless you, sister. Amen. Okay, Adam, and then Lester.
I'd just like to testify that the Lord has spoken to me in this past year, even through recently here, pondering the path of our feet and seeing that this is a journey that we're in. One time the Lord spoke to me through a brother. He used the analogy of Christian in Pilgrim's Progress and how we look at being a failure versus being faithful and being victorious or whatever. And the question was Christian a failure until he entered through the pearly gates? Was he a failure like in the Doubting Castle? No, as long as he got back, he recognized the mistake and he got in the path of the celestial city, he was in the way, the path. And God just spoke to me through that and changed my definition of what it means to live in victory. I too often had been looking at my own performance, at things in my own life, at my own needs, my family's needs, instead of looking at my Savior. And I think that's what God is speaking to me through this message this morning. I want to realize and to think of that picture of the soldiers, the military ranks keeping the castle. If the knight of the castle or whoever is in the castle comes out at midnight or at 1 o'clock and he finds these soldiers alert, standing at their post, keeping the castle, they are faithful. They have not yet kept the castle all night. It's not done. They're still keeping to do. But as long as they're there, keeping the castle at whatsoever hour their master comes, they're faithful.
Amen.
Even though they're still at work. And I just want to take courage from that and keep God's word to me.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you, Adam. Okay, Lester.
I was very blessed with reflecting back over the year. And sometimes we come to a place where we reflect back over our life. And I had to especially think of the time this last week as I was looking through some boxes and seeing some things that I used years ago that just lay there and I'm not using them now. And I was wondering, what should I do with them? And brought a bunch of memories back. And some of the things I might be able to use, other things I might sell, you know, and or give away or whatever. And I thought of it just brought a lot of memories back in my mind. I wouldn't want to turn the time back. And yet it's obvious we're moving forward. A year has gone by and seems I have done so little and we have so much to do with this, with these earthly things. And then the next morning we were reading in Proverbs for some time and don't always get it done, but The verse jumped out at me there. It talks in chapter 8. It talks about wisdom. And then it says riches in verse 18. It says there's a lot of real good reading there. It says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. I never noticed that so much. But those, that word just really hopped out at me where it says durable riches.
Amen.
And I was just thinking. Another place we read in the Bible about true riches. So that's what I want to make my goal this year.
Mm-hmm.
Durable riches and true riches.
Amen. God bless you, Lester. Any others yet? Come back here.
The Lord's been teaching me a lot this past year about trust, and fears has been something that I really struggle with all through my growing up years. And Brother Tim Eschbach's message on not circling around the mountain but going forward really spoke to me that this is an area in my life that God really wants me to just step forward and leave behind. And I've really been blessed, and when I find myself thinking fearful thoughts, to stop and repent of it and just begin pondering and thinking on how great God is and the God that I serve. And I just desire for this coming year to be one of leaving that behind and finding more rest in this area.
Praise the Lord, sister. This past year you laid aside a weight. Praise God. In the back?
Yes, I just want to testify. Thank you for the message. It was very good, and I just want to walk in God's commandments and to serve Him, and it was very, very good, the message, and I just want to walk in God's commandments and to serve Him, and hopefully I can do that through the reading of His Word and just pray. So I just want to thank you for the message.
Amen. God bless you, Darius.
Amen.
Okay, maybe we have time for a few more, two or three more here. Is there anyone yet? Somebody have a mic or not?
I've been really blessed this past year with Brother Paul's encouragement for us to read through the Bible. When he first gave that, I thought, how can I do this? I just had a baby and I'm so busy, and I thought I was, and I was like, how can I conquer that? But after a couple weeks into last January, I was like, you know what? I have more time sitting here nursing the baby, and I can read God's Word. And that has been such an encouragement to me, and I've been I was able to go through it. I was a couple weeks behind, but I'm just so thankful that God gives us encouragement from His Word, and it was my strength this past year. And I feel like He taught me a lot, and how much quiet time with Him is my strength and my song. Another thing that I feel like the Lord's been teaching me just lately is that He wants me ready and prepared for His return with an expectant heart and my heart clean and ready for Him any moment.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Comfort one another with these words, it says, about the return of the Lord. She just comforted all of us. Anyone else yet? Up here's one yet? We'll take one more after that, and then I think I'll close down here.
We've been so blessed this week pondering our path. The children, in their quiet times, from like my 8-year-old up, they've been making their lists of desires they have for ways to be established. That verse, ponder the paths to your feet and let your ways be established. And so the question is, what ways in our lives do we not feel established? And then we love the next verse, you know, after that, then do not let your foot turned to the right or to the left. So that's been a real blessing, because it's something that we can look over in the year and actually becomes our prayer list for one another. And at the end of the year, we can see, you know, maybe some things didn't move very fast, but other things we really had victory in. And so that'll be very encouraging. And I also look back at my last year's list and saw ways that God has really done a work, and then saw other ways that I was on the wrong highway and didn't move at all, and was very convicted that I had great intentions, but I did not. I wrote my list, and then I just went on instead of keeping, like we're hearing today, and asking God, what is the practical path? Some things might be just, you know, memorizing scripture and focusing more on it, but other things, there are practical choices, daily choices to be made to build, you know, new habits in different situations. And one thing with the whole Bible reading I just have really struggled with is I start out and I get through half the Bible, and then I end up dropping it because I can't remember where I was, because the Lord has to talk to me about so many things in my quiet times that I end up doing different studies, and I can't remember where I was, and I'm way behind and all those things. And so the Lord just ministered to me, you know what, you've tried so many times, and I have a child that's like me. We read really slow because we just get stuck on every verse, you know, and whereas I have other children that just can read it through, you know, and my husband can just read it through, and it's just, and so he just said, why don't you make yourself a 1.5-year plan? And instead of starting Genesis again, you know, and never getting to the minor prophets or whatever, just plan on with this other child finishing up in the summer and then starting over again. And then there's times, there's days where when, you know, I don't want to, if the Lord's trying to talk to me, oh no, I have to read my Bible. I can't listen. But I can have time to that day not have, do my regular Bible reading and do a study or a repentance or something that he's putting in my heart. So that was a practical way where, you know, I could have written it as a desire, but if I don't say, okay, God, how is this going to happen? Putting it on a practical path, then I end up failing in the middle of the year, and so that was encouraging.
Amen. God bless you, sister. Okay, do we have one more yet? Back in the back here.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord today and be encouraged. And the message that Paul preached last week about the path, yeah, and that path has been in my, through the years that I got saved, I often ponder, do I want to go down that path? And I stop myself, and it's so good to be encouraged again and again about that, because it is, we are, our path is what we're going to have to hear about when we come to the Lord. And do we want to take the Lord down that path? Because He is with us every day of the way. Amen. I mean, He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so if you take them two and put them together, I'm not going to take the Savior down that way. No. So we catch ourselves. I started to got a track from, I don't know who gave it out, that Glenwood, somebody gave my wife a track about, he had a dream that he was taking the Lord to work and whatever, and pulled a bunch of fast ones with it, and I got it. And between them two now, if you ponder your path and think about that, the Lord is with you, which He is. You've got pretty good tools to walk out your
Amen.
Christian life.
Amen.
God bless.
I think about God's command to Joshua, be of good courage, for I'm with thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mel. Thank you all for sharing. I too wanted to share. I figured I'd have a chance if at the end here somehow, so I didn't share before. But I took some time this week to ponder the path of my feet. And I found I was struggling a little bit to hear what the Lord was trying to say to me. And didn't feel like I really got some good direction. It just seemed like It seemed like it was coming to me as law, not in a gracious way, like God speaks. And so I just kind of went on my way, you know. And a day or two later, and actually over those days, it began to dawn on me what I needed to hear about where I'm at and where I want to go for this year. The Lord began to speak to me, remind me of a message I heard a while back called the Sin of Not Rejoicing. And I remembered that message, and the Lord just spoke to me, you know, you've had a lot of heavy things you've walked through this year. You've had a lot of difficult stuff to deal with and think about and process. And in one way, it was God. I was encouraged. There was a day when those things probably would have crushed me, and I just couldn't have handled it. But in another way, just a subtle heaviness of losing that joy and that rejoicing. And the Lord reminded me of that. And so that's part of the path that I, by God's grace, want to walk on this coming year, is to be someone that rejoices always. You know, by faith, by choice. You know, yes, we have heavy things we have to think about, we have to deal with, but truly, God's going to work everything out. He's in control. And if I choose to be discouraged, it's not going to change what God is and who God is. It's just going to mean for me, I'm going to miss out. And so I just want to state that that's part of my path here. And maybe you can ask me how I'm doing in that. But to choose rejoicing. We have something to rejoice about. And so I wanted to share that with you. And he also spoke other things to me as well. Praise God. Is there anybody that had something that you just felt like you really wanted to share and you need to? Right there. When I went to bed last night, I was laying in bed and my three oldest daughters are sleep up above my room. And I heard them singing, "Faith is the Victory," as they were going to bed. And I had shared these things with them last night. I guess I wondered, maybe, had you all been praying for me for that? Or praise God.
I feel like God really spoke to me regarding the direction for this coming year. I think He's wanting to grow my faith in Him, trusting Him, yes, to truly do the impossible, even through me. And I don't feel like I have the strength or the ability or anything for that. But I was so blessed yesterday morning as I read God's Word in Psalms that it says, that David said, he commented that it's the Lord is His strength. And it's not, my praise to God is not by my strength, but by the strength that is given from the Lord. And that's how I serve Him. So I thought that was one that clear direction for my life is that I need to rely on His power, not my own.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.